Welcome to Bethel Brandon Sunday Message. Please head over to our website, bethelbrandon.ca, to figure out how we can best serve you.
We're continuing on in the book of Jonah. And the Lord threw me a curveball. As of 12 o'clock yesterday, I wasn't going to preach this sermon. But for some reason, I just kind of felt led by the Holy Spirit to kind of talk about this. And it deals with one of the most important parts of our faith. It's what I will call provision, the provision of God. How many here, you know, just by show of hands, you are happy and you are glad for the providing hand of God? Just wave at you. I imagine that every single one of us, because all of us in some way have had God provide in our life. If I were to put a microphone at the front of the altar and I said, I want to have people come up, if God has provided for you in any way and you want to testify about it, come on up to the front. I'm sure that there would be a long lineup of people who would tell us some absolutely incredible stories of the providing hand of God. I know that I've sat down with people who are new to the country, and they explained to me all the things that they had to do to immigrate into Canada, and they didn't start in one place. They had to go somewhere and then move to another place, and God at every step of the way had provided for them. And maybe you are here, and you are one of those individuals. I know that there have been times where people have given me automobiles, that there have been times where I have had nothing and somehow someone in the midst of nowhere shows up. I know the story of the church that I had got saved in. In their history, in their earlier days, they didn't have enough money for a mortgage, and the pastor, not knowing what to do, went out to pray. And what he says, the testimony that he had was, someone had put something in my pocket, and I turned around and they weren't there. And there was an envelope which helped to pay the mortgage and the bills for the church for that week. Just supernatural things. I think the most amazing ones are missionaries. If you have a time to listen to people who have said yes to the call of God, gone overseas, and many times not knowing what to do or how to proceed, and God somehow supernaturally provides for them. There's that quote that says, if you are in the middle of God, you'll never be lacking for God's supply. And a lot of our missionaries are testimony to that. I even remember when I went through college, and I had no way to go to college. And God, through a series of events, provided not just for the first year, but all 4 years that I was in Bible college. And I'm just so thankful for the times that God has provided. But here's the other thing. I realize that as I say that, there are people who will sit here who are angered, or they are silent just due to the fact that there was a time that they were expecting God to move and expecting God to provide, and he didn't. And so that's what makes this topic important, because it will affect us one way or another. And when we talk about the providence of God, it has to do with the fact that God did not just make us and create us and said, see you later, folks. What he did instead is he continues to involve himself in the everyday affairs of our lives. And I'm thankful that he does. And I'll say this. As I've had time to think about this, that perhaps the times that I have advanced the most in my faith have been times where I have been waiting for God to provide, where I have been seeking him, asking him, trusting in him, the whole process and the whole work in God working, and maybe even more so looking back and seeing the times that God did provide in ways that I didn't even realize that he was providing. And of course, there's the times where we just hang on to the miracles. You know, we can just see God performed a miracle. I don't know how he did it. And so we see that God provides. He provides financially. And that seems to be the main way that we think that God provides. But he provides much more, and maybe more dramatically, in the times where it has nothing to do with money or things. That God provides his presence in times of grief, in times of anxiety, that he provides healing. Anybody here who has experienced the healing power of God today? Yes, many of us. He provides people. I had a close friend. And he was doing a demonstration, exercise demonstration in front of a whole bunch of people. And all of a sudden, he collapses because of a brain aneurysm. But in the audience there was a doctor and there was an ambulance attendant who got to him right away, and he got to the hospital still living today, still serving the Lord today, doing well. God somehow provides sometimes people who will minister, people who will be there, people who will support you. God uses us. There have been times where God has supplied, the only way I can describe it is supernatural wisdom. Things where God moves beyond my ability to have an answer. You even read 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. It says that he provides a way of escape. Times when you're tempted. In times when things aren't going well. That God opens the door that way. And of course, for many of us, there have been times where I have been on the giving end of providing for other people. That God uses us to be able to provide for other people. And having said that, having talked about this just briefly, I will admit to you this morning that I am still a student, that I am still learning about this thing which we will call the providing hand of God. And the other thing that I will add at this time, that a half an hour will not be enough for me to be able to explain all of it to you. So for those people who come up to me afterwards and say, hey, Pastor Mike, you kind of forgot about this. Yes, there will be things that I will forget. There will be points that you have to. This hopefully will be something that is the primer for you to study further in the fact that God is a God that provides. And the reason I say this is because one of the greatest examples of provision is the story of Jonah. Like I said, we're in part 3, and for some reason, God has me bringing this to you because I believe that God is wanting to speak to a number of people who are in the service today who are looking for something from God. Maybe even more so for those people who are thinking of walking away. Because this subject of provision is such a wonderful thing that we testify to God about. But I think that many, many, many people have walked away from God on this subject of the providing hand of God. And so you might be on that side of the spectrum, trying to figure it out. And if you are, I'm trusting that God will speak to your heart today. Because here's what I do know, that every single one of us who are here today are looking for provision from God in one respect or another. So let's turn to Genesis, to Jonah. Jonah chapter 1. We talked about Jonah and the fact that he had a calling and why he walked away. Last week we talked about fear. We talked about the fear that will kill you, and we talked about the fear that God moves to bring us to him, and the importance of understanding the different types of fear that we see in Scripture. And if you didn't get a chance to hear that, I encourage you to do that next for when you're watching online. So let's go to Jonah 1, verse 17. I know you're going to be surprised because it's just one verse. Over the last year, I've kind of been bombarding you with Scriptures. But this is what it says. It is a unique passage in all of Scripture. It says, now the Lord provided a huge fish to swallow Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. Pretty intense if you think about it. This is the part of the story where many people think, well, I just don't know if I can hardly believe this. Well, if you can believe Genesis 1:1, that God created the heavens and the earth, then you should have no problem believing that God can create or provide a fish to do this for Jonah. And as we get talking about provision, about providing, we have these wonderful terms that we will use to describe what God's provision is. But many times, one of the words that we will leave out is this, that God's provision at times can be painful. But if we were honest to our faith, like let's just be honest, many times we will come to the conclusion that this is in fact true, that provision can be painful and a confusing process. It's interesting, the thing about the story of Jonah and the fact that the story of Jonah and the provision in the whole Bible, that the Bible is clear that God provides this big fish. And the fish is the thing that seems to get all of the press, isn't it? You know, it's not the first thing that God provides for Jonah, right? He provides a vision and a task for Jonah, which is really one of the most difficult things God could ask anybody to do, to go to Nineveh, who just killed people and skinned people alive and beheaded people, and tell them about their sin. That seems pretty tough to me. Not only that, he provides a storm that not only almost kills him, but the other people who are on board that ship. Finally, God provides this great big fish to swallow him. So God provides an impossible task, an impetuous storm, and an imposing fish. Thanks a lot, God. Could you imagine for a second Jonah's prayer? God, thank you for bringing this great big fat stinky fish to swallow me up. Certainly is comfortable with all these fish heads and undigested food and the smell of rotting fish and the darkness and the sliminess. God, you're so wonderful in your provision. And while I'm at it, also wanted to thank you for the storm that almost killed me and everybody else, and the fact that you want me to do something that is an absolute suicide mission. I just want to say, God, thanks a lot. And in this story, we see that God provides, but he doesn't provide in a way that is preferred. And many times this runs counteractive to our transactional thinking, doesn't it? By the way, there is a Hebrew word for whale, and it's not used in this passage of Scripture. The Hebrew word, the word that they would have used for whale, is not used. It says huge fish, a big fish. And if you wanted to talk for an hour about what people conjecture, what people think this fish is, then we could do that. But it really doesn't have any kind of bearing a whole lot. Maybe in a couple of weeks we'll talk a little bit about what this fish, what this creature probably could have been. But I think it goes a little bit further than that. It's just the fact that it was a big fish and God provided it. You know, like he could have provided a raft, right? Could have provided, you know, even some type of piece of wood from the ship that had kind of fallen off of the stuff they'd thrown out. He could have provided a dolphin that he could have hung on to. But he doesn't. He provides a stinky fish. I don't know, I don't understand it. You know, the only thing I can think is that God had to answer and provide in a way that was unique to grab the attention of Jonah. And why does God do what he does? I don't know. The other question I ask myself is this. Why does God continue to work with this guy? He obviously doesn't want to do what God wants him to do, but for some reason, God keeps on using and reaching out to this guy named Jonah. Excuse me. I would have gotten rid of this guy a long time ago. But the issue is this, that God uses people that don't deserve to be used, doesn't he? People like you and me. So this passage of Scripture has more to do, has just as much to do with the fact that God cares about people who don't know him. It also has to do with the fact that God is continually working with us, even when there are times when we really don't deserve the privilege to work with them. Like, I think of that passage, and for those of you who know the scriptures, in the book of Esther, there's the thought of a time in the history when the Jewish race was in danger of being annihilated. And Esther, all of a sudden, being the queen at that time, is talking to her uncle Mordecai, and she is afraid to approach the king about this. And Mordecai says, God could probably find another way to do it. And the famous statement of that whole book is this: but who knows that you were not born for such a time as this? And it causes us to realize that that statement is to you and to me today, that God has a job for us to do, and he doesn't have fill-ins. If you don't do the job, there's not somebody who's going to fill in for you, because God has a job for them as well. Provision. I don't totally understand it all. I wish I could say I am an authority on the provision of God. And I take a look at the fact that the Bible says that he is, one of the names of God is this, Jehovah Jireh, which means God, our provider. God provides for us. But oftentimes we don't look where that passage is. It has to do at one of the most difficult times in Abraham's life with Isaac, where he's supposed to give the sacrifice. And in faith, he is trusting that God is going to bring about the sacrifice and not his son. It's a crazy scripture. But that is where we get the name Jehovah Jireh, God our provider. Let me tell you, folks, sometimes we don't read the small print when it comes to the provision of God. And so let's kind of take an honest look. Things that I have learned from the scripture, things that I have learned from this scripture, and things that I have learned just by serving Jesus every day for the last couple of decades. Here's a number of things that I've learned. And I'm going to be quick. First thing is this. There are some times that I will confuse God's provision with my preference. Because this thing is true. That whenever I want God to do something, I have put a plan together in my head as to how I know it will perfectly go. Have you done that as well? God, this is what you could do. It would work perfectly if you did it this way. If you provided this for me, then I could do that. We could work together. Let's work together on this, God. But the thing is, rarely, if ever, has God used my game plan. And this is especially true when it comes to those walking in opposition like Jonah. God's provision was not a response to Jonah's obedience. It was in response to his disobedience. God doesn't answer or cater according to our liking, does he? And I'm glad that he doesn't. Can you imagine if God has given you everything you asked? That would be terrible, folks. It'd be terrible for me, because I have asked for some pretty outlandish things. And I think back, if God would have answered that prayer, if God would have provided that, I would have been in a lot of trouble. Many times we're called to do things, and God provides things that won't be the things that we prefer, but they'll be the things that will challenge us. It'll be the things that will stretch us. It will be the things that will require us to actually depend on God. God's provision, it's not like a buffet, choosing the things that we like and passing on the rest. But sometimes we can do that. The other thing that I have learned is that there are times where I will confuse God's provision with my perceptions. And here's the thing, that God provides as he sees our lives and not as we see our lives. You read the story of Jonah, and it is obvious that what Jonah perceives and what God perceives are two totally different things. But if we think about it, and if we understand who God is, and be honest, we would have to admit that God's perspective might be slightly more advantageous to ours. And if that is the case, to be able to understand the provision of God, what I have to do is I have to absolutely believe and trust with all of my heart that God is in control. If I understand and if I believe that God is in control, then I have no problem believing whatever God will provide for my life. Because I will surrender or I will exchange the limited perspective with God's omniscient, omnipotent, omnipresent, eternal perspective. It's true. Ever read Acts chapter 9? You know, Paul on the road to Damascus, he's all blind and everything, doesn't know what to do. He kind of goes into Damascus, he's fasting, and God speaks to a guy named Ananias. Remember? Remember the story? God says to Ananias, hey, this Paul guy, he's in Damascus, you need to pray for him so that he can see again. And Ananias says this, hey, God, do you realize that this is the guy who's killing us? Hey, honest question, is it? Not. Yeah, but I'm going to use him. You need to understand that I have a plan and it goes beyond perhaps what you know right now. God's provision goes past our perception. Here's another one. There's times when I confuse God's provision with my protection. You know, I wish there was an alternative story to Jonah. It goes like this. The storm happens. They throw him overboard. Things get cleared up. And all of a sudden, over and out of nowhere, comes this cruise ship. This cruise ship comes on. There's music playing and festivities taking place. And they throw him a lifeline. And Jonah climbs into this wonderful, luxurious boat, and Captain Steubing is there to welcome him and say, don't you worry about anything. I want to make sure that you're comfortable. I want to make sure everything goes your way. You're going to Joppa, you're going to Nineveh. Hey, let's just change the boat around so that you are comfortable every step along the way. But instead, a big, stinky fish swallows him. We confuse God's provision with what we think God needs to provide in us in the level of comfort. And there was what we get, what I will call the comfort cult. What is the comfort cult? It is the thinking that God wants us to be comfortable, carefree, pain-free all the time. Amen? Maybe? No? Okay. Funny how that is. The comfort cult seems to knock on our door quite a bit, doesn't it? To be honest with you, I'm not too sure if God cares about our comfort as much as we think he does. Or at least, he thinks less about our comfort than he does our development or his plan for our life. And I think that God does perfect, and there are times where God has provided. And there has been times when God has protected me. But on those times where I have realized that God has provided and protected, if I look back at the time, I realize that I wasn't on a nice smooth highway. That many times as you go through these times, God has you going through some pretty hard terrain, doesn't he? There's something about the fact that we have to depend on him. You know, and the other thing is this. When God does provide, he doesn't give you a forewarning. He just does it. But until he does it, you are suffering. You are praying. You're calling on God to move, praying for God to provide, praying for God to do the miracle, and you think it's not going to happen until God shows up. Boom. Out of the blue. Right? Like Jonah was in that fish for 3 days. I don't think God said to him, listen, today you're getting out. Today I'm gonna allow this fish to horkaloogie, you're going to be in it, onshore. Never told him that up until that time. He was going through the rough time. Here's another one. We confuse God's provision with punishment. That's a big one, isn't it? You take a look at all these things that God provided, you think that God was punishing Jonah. My only answer, as I think about this, there's a few answers. One is this, that sometimes God creates unique provision because he needs to uniquely grab your attention. The other thing is this, again, The tragedies that we face sometimes become the springboards to God's greatest victories. That what you think is the worst thing in the world actually will be the best thing in the world 3 months down the road, 6 months down the road. That out of the ashes and all these things, and you're thinking, God, what are you doing? Do you know what you're doing? Are you even there, God? All of a sudden, you realize that God is planting something huge, great. Think about Acts chapter 6 and 7, where Stephen becomes the first martyr of the church, and persecution happens all over the place. And you think, God, what are you providing here? Well, what happens is they disperse themselves. And the gospel gets preached over all of the world. If there was no big fish, there would have been 600,000 people in Nineveh who would have not had the opportunity to turn to God. Don't confuse God's provision for punishment. And one more is this, that we will confuse, or I will confuse, God's provision with our projection. What do you mean by that? I basically mean this, that sometimes we are feeling it so difficultly that we cannot get ourselves past our current dilemma. That we become short-sighted in the process. And the need is so pressing, and we are so entangled, and we are so miserable in what is happening and what is going on, that we can't see past the fact that when God works, he not just doesn't work at the time that things are going on, but through your whole life and into eternity. As I was thinking about this is the statement that I came up with. It's this. Sometimes we see provision as monetary, momentary, and mandatory. But God sees it differently. In other words, this. God, I want you to provide this right now because your word has said that you will do it, and I'm holding you to your word. And you better do it because, you know, I can find a Bible verse that will line up with the thing that I want. But God thinks past that, doesn't he? And that God has to help us to get out of this thing which is spiritual short-sightedness. And so there you go. Sometimes provision, folks, I'm saying, can be painful as we go through the process. And I don't know exactly what you're going through. And one thing that I do know is that there will be things that you will come up to me with, and I am not going to have an answer. Like I said, I'm still a student, but I do know that God's word tells me to cast all of my care on him because he cares for me. And the underlying thing that I have found about provision is this, is that many times God will provide in a manner that I come to the place where I want what God wants. Amen? God, I just pray that you'll minister to whoever this is for today. And pray for a powerful move of the Holy Spirit in all of our lives.
Thanks for listening to this message. If you enjoyed it, please head over to BethelBrandon.ca to listen to our older messages or maybe connect with us and figure out how we can best serve you. Thanks for listening. Have a great day.